to the Next Level Occupational Therapy Podcast. My name is Kara Welke, occupational therapist and creator of the Next Level Occupational Therapy Platform. The goal of this podcast is to encourage, inspire, and motivate occupational therapy professionals to level up in their career, whether that be to start a new business, add a side job, and or to figure out how to be more satisfied in their current career. Hope you enjoy the show. So we have a diverse group of therapy professionals here, pre-therapy professionals, to OTs, to PTs, to OT and PT combination. They'll introduce themselves, that do a wide variety of skills from copywriting, blogging, to helping to manage businesses and beyond. So this is how we're going to do it today. Each person is going to go through and introduce themselves and tell all about themselves and how they transitioned into this career or alternative opportunity that they're doing. And then after everyone's introduced themselves, we'll start answering your questions. So Jenny, I'll have you go first.
Hi, so I'm Jenny Gill and I'm an occupational therapist. And right now I am working on my business, which is Jenny Gill Copywriting. So right now I live in Michigan, but kind of my story starts, most of my practice was down in Indiana. And so actually about this time last year, we were thinking of moving back to Michigan, and it was kind of a crossroads where I was like, I got to decide what I'm going to do next. And I have a family, and I was like, you know, what do I want my life to look like? And I was entering what I knew was a very saturated OT job market where I was moving to. And so I had to give a lot of thought to, you know, what would I want to do next? And it forced me to kind of have those conversations with myself. And at the same time, I was working on a nonprofit board. And like I wrote a grant and kind of led this whole initiative to change like a daycare. And out of that, I realized I had all of these skills and I just loved doing this. And I was like, I need to get paid to do something like that. And so I ran across the idea of copywriting. Probably on Facebook somewhere. I read a blog, of course. And so I decided last July to invest in like a copywriting course. And so I was still working in an outpatient setting. Pretty much all of my OT experience is outpatient and inpatient in rural health. So I was in rural Indiana. And so I just started taking the course, anticipating a move back to Michigan. And eventually about last fall, my husband found a job and we moved. And so I was halfway through the course. And by the time we like moved and settled, I was ready to launch my business last January. So in January 2020, I was like, I'm doing it, and started Jenny Gill Copywriting. So I've been working on that. Originally, my goal was to make it a side hustle with some OT clinical practice. But with COVID, I couldn't necessarily get my license and my kids were home. And so I've just been thankful that my side hustle has worked with now my main hustle being a parent until everything calms down. And then I'll probably go back to clinic, but it's, you know, you just never know how well a plan might work out.
Can you explain what Copywriting Inc. is? Cause some people might not know that.
Yes. And I had no idea what it was before I started like researching and investigating it. So copywriting is anything that you write really to promote your business. And there's like some strategy to it, but that could be your website because that represents you and tries to get people to pay attention to your business. Also emails, blogs, social media. Some of those are definitely copy as well. So it's just the words that you use to really build your business and promote it and engage with others. So a sales page, any of those kind of more, I say like salesy writing, but you don't actually want it to be super salesy. You want it to be like a connection where they want to work with you at the end.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Jenny. Okay. Cindy, let's hear about you.
Hey guys. Thanks for having me on, Kara. So my name is Cindy Drown and I am a 20-year PT. And before that, I was in microbiology and science. So this is actually a second career. And the last 9 years, I have written over 20,000 technical reports. So I write a lot, did a lot of computer work, and I fell into SSHC, which is Greg Todd's Smart Success Healthcare, looking for a transition to have my own thing. I'd already looked at copywriting, and I was looking at writing as more technical. So like research papers, grants. I had looked at the AMWA, which is the American Medical Writers Association. And so I had toyed around with a couple ideas. I came into SSHC and was exposed to a whole new world of marketing and sales, and just really fell in love with that. And for me, that was the missing link for healthcare. Is just as therapists, we rely on doctors for the referrals. And this had never been really taught in my education, and I thought it was the missing link. So I wanted to bring more of a direct-to-consumer marketing model to healthcare. And I, through the process of the last couple months, have really focused in on Google Ads and building out ads and landing pages. And this is for copywriting, is in any ad that you see. And the landing page is just the words you use, the connection, like Jenny said, to try to make a point. As therapists, we are so vested in our education and what we do and our certifications. We know what's good for the patient, but we really need to sell that to the patient, the client. We need to sell that to them, because if they don't believe it, they don't believe that they need something, they're simply not going to pursue it. So that's where copywriting comes in. And then once a client does come into your world, you can foster that relationship with email marketing. You know, that's a direct line of communication where you can offer new products, services, promos, keep your clients and patients updated on what you do, offer tips. So that's where I'm at right now.
Awesome. Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate you being here. Hey, let's go to Emily.
Super. Well, thanks for having us. My name is Emily. I'm also a Michigander, Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I am actually changing career to healthcare from higher education. I was at the University of Michigan for about 10 years and got my master's degree in higher education and adult learning, student development, part-time while I was working. But OT was the career that got away. I always said I would do it in another life and eventually just had to say, maybe just one life to live, I should do it now. So I'm slated to start studies in January 2021. But like many people, my life was rearranged with COVID. I'm home with my kids. And I had been incubating an idea for a long time that I could use the skills that I developed while I was working in administration to help therapists who either are in private practice or have programs like summer camps or groups that they run online. You know, whether it's an online course or a membership community. And then suddenly it was the time to do it. Everything just lined up. So it has been really fun. There were a lot of situations when I was working as an administrator in higher education that, you know, as just a frontline person, you had no help, no one to delegate to. And if I wanted to be able to do something fun, run a program, or have a closer relationship with the students that I was serving, I basically had to take something off of my own plate. And I would just figure out how to do that by setting up a macro to process these worksheets in Excel so it didn't take me so long, or setting up using a text expander so that I could just do a couple keystrokes and have a whole email template in front of me in Gmail that I could then customize and personalize to this person. Half the time I was working with international students and half the time in marketing and sales for a graduate program. So now that I have this opportunity to work with therapists, I find there are so many ways in which people could make it easier for themselves. So like I'm working with a friend of mine who is having a hard time doing her notes and documentation because she has her daughter home all day and then she's trying to do her notes at night. So we set up the text expander for her, so it will be a lot quicker for her to just click, click, have her template, fill in the little pieces. Sometimes the idea is you can like, oh, put your business on autopilot. Well, that's not really the idea. When you, the pilot puts the plane on autopilot, it's not so that she can fall asleep. It's so she can be more responsive to what's going on and talk with the people on the plane. And so that's really what I'm doing with folks. Like, let's figure out email automations that can be responsive, but be responsive to the specific kind of client or customer experience that you want the person to have, or set up like a personalized video greeting that goes out to every person that signs up for your course, things like this. So I'm having a great time and glad to be here.
Awesome. Thank you, Emily. And Emily's actually helped me out in my Facebook group in doing social media content too. So that's been a huge help for me. So okay, Courtney.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. My name is Courtney. I'm actually a physical therapist and occupational therapist. I graduated from the University of St. Augustine in 2013 with my Master of OT, and then 2015 Doctor of PT. And then I started an outpatient for about 2 years. And then for the last 3.5 years, my husband and I both have been doing travel therapy as both a PT and OT. And so my transition was kind of, it started in Hawaii, actually. Last year, we spent 7 years on a PT contract, and two things happened. One, burnout. I would go to work and I'm, you know, stressing over documentation to please the insurance and justify the services. And then there's the whole Hawaii outside waiting for me. And so, burnout coupled with a realization that maybe a long-term permanent mobile lifestyle is possible. And so I searched out careers that could support being able to kind of work on my own terms. And I realized that, you know, providing back-end support to clinics, specifically in the therapy world, was really, really needed. And so that's kind of where I geared my services toward. And so I created the Office on Call, which is just myself as a virtual assistant, which truthfully, I think all of us could be considered virtual assistants. You know, my definition is, you know, a team member who works remotely and provides support to online and brick and mortar businesses. So that kind of encompasses all of us, regardless, you know, what we decide to title ourselves. But I basically just did a lot of research online and realized that I could use a lot of the skills that I already have just as a professional student and as a therapist and a clinician to assist these businesses. And so, that's where I am. I actually also began just when COVID hit because there was opportunity. You know, I had more time at home and things just lined up. So very fortunate to be here.
Awesome. Courtney, what all services do you provide with virtual assistant? I mean, I'm guessing it's a vast array or...
Yes, it's very vast. I was just thinking this morning that this, past couple of weeks, almost every day, I've had a client request something new that I've not done before. So, it really depends on that specific person. I do a little copywriting, social media, EMR setup for those clinics and integration, calendar management, inbox management, seriously anything a person needs. I had a lady yesterday who introduced me to a digital business card. And so I researched that. It kind of just depends on the virtual assistant that you speak with, but I kind of do it all. There is, always room to grow. There are always resources to learn. And so if I don't have the experience, I am always open to learn and getting to know, you know, different things to do and support the clinics, but then also referring out when I am over my head. I have definitely realized that, especially with something like Facebook ads or Google ads or those those funnel copywriting, that sometimes you may need, you know, just someone who's a bit more advanced in training. And so, and with that, I like to say that it's really important to recognize those weaknesses and then reach out. One of the most important things I found is having a mentor really, really helped. And so I was able to, before I launched my business, I was able to do some pro bono work for other virtual assistants to get some of that experience.
Awesome. Well, thank you. So before we get going on to questions, I just want to give a shout out to Sandra, Kathy, Leslie, Michelle, Shilpa, Felicia, Hannah, Jen, Jared, Lisa, Susan, Amelia, Yolanda, and Donna. Thank you for being on live. We appreciate you taking time to watch us while we're live. If you guys have any questions, please put them in the comment section. And again, please put live if you're watching live, replay if you're watching replay. And yes, Donna, I will have all of Jenny, Cindy, Emily, and Courtney share their websites in the comment section so you guys can be able to access and contact everyone that is going to be presenting. I also think we maybe put websites in our post that we have. So we'll make sure that you guys get that information. So, okay. So first question that we had in our Facebook group is from Megan. She's extremely interested in transitioning out of traditional healthcare to copywriting and digital marketing. And there are so many courses. Where should she start? So Jenny, maybe I'll have you start with that one. Any suggestions on someone on where to start in order to get into copywriting?
So I'm most familiar with the course that I did. I did Sarah Turner's Write My Way to Freedom course, and I picked it specifically because she does cover like ethical copywriting, which I thought was really important for me in working in healthcare. And she also covers a lot of the basics of both copywriting and setting up a business. Because I think my business or biggest objection starting this was I didn't know that I wanted to be a business owner. I didn't know anything about it. And so the idea that she incorporated that into her course, I really liked. And so there's a lot of support and mentoring that I found in that course. So I would just really look at the different options. There are some other ones out there and find one that fits your goals. I think fits your mindset, like how you think. And like that you really resonate with, because copywriting is a very powerful tool. And I think you just have to use it thoughtfully. And so if you can learn from somebody who uses it thoughtfully, or at least matches you, it really helps push you forward. So that would be kind of my advice, like investigate who's leading it and kind of their messaging. And if it matches your beliefs as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Jenny. Cindy, how about you? What are your thoughts on where to start with transitioning into copywriting and digital marketing, since you also do some of that area?
Thank you. So copywriting, I just consumed a lot of books. There are a ton of books that you can review by copywriters. You just have to Google it. I like to read different styles. There's just doing a lot of research and looking at through different industries for the copywriting, and everyone will have their own style. I think it comes down to practice. You know, you're not going to follow one person's style, but you need to develop your style based on your past experience and your clinical experience and what the client wants. So that's just a process of evolving as a writer in general. And you have to think of it as we already do writing quite a bit as healthcare professionals, but we're writing to an audience that is the insurance company. So when you're thinking of copywriting, you just flip that audience, and instead of selling what you're doing to the insurance company, you then need to sell it to the patient or client. And what are their wants and needs? You know, put yourself in their shoes. So just exposing yourself to a lot of different forms, being an avid reader is, and it doesn't even have to be copywriting, is a way to improve your skills too. So that's with the copywriting. That's just a lifelong process, because if you love to write, you're going to write. And those that don't want to write will outsource to copywriting. So digital skills, I was fortunate, and I want to thank Kara. Kara was my mentor during SSHC, and I'll give a shout out to her. I told her I'd never do a Zoom live, ever wasn't going to do it. Here I am. So she pulled me out of my shell. So thank you. So I ended up taking a digital course in Alex Engar and Will Boyd's Digital Income School. And that was perfect timing because that was right when COVID hit. And it's pretty fast paced. They touch on a lot of things, digital, building websites, all kinds of different things. So they give you a taste of everything. And I went into that thinking, okay, I need to reinvent myself. I want to learn something new. I want to be challenged. And I, through that process, picked Google Ads because I'm a science geek and I like analytics. And you can really track it. And I've gone on to pursue, other courses. I think with Google, just particularly with that, there's not one course that's going to teach you everything. And you really have to, you'll get a piece here, a piece there. And it's through experience and, just going through the process that you're going to have to learn that. It's challenging, but I really like it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Cindy. And yeah, you have come a long ways. I'm so proud of you. And Emily, how about for you, for people that want to do things like you're doing, where do you recommend to get training and how to start?
So I realized I didn't actually per se put a label on what I'm doing. At the moment, I'm finding that systems consulting is the best descriptor, and I do some done with you and done for you services as well. My main objective is to help business owners implement systems and technologies in their businesses or optimize the technologies they're already paying for in a way that they then have more options and don't become dependent on continuing necessarily to work with me long term. That's not even really what I'm looking to do, but either then that they'll be able to keep on it themselves or hire someone for some of the day-to-day. So in any case, I would say my recommendation from my experience would be to do some research and try to find people who do something that looks like what you imagine you would like to do. And then read their websites, get on their lists, experience their welcome sequence, see, if they offer a course, even if you don't enroll in the course, they're probably having some freebies or some webinars or other lead nurturing that they're doing, which you can experience. Because in my case, if I had jumped into the first course that I saw, now at this point, I realized that would not have gotten me towards what I'm trying to do because my idea has evolved. I've gotten into Facebook groups that were really helpful. And then I saw some comments that people were leaving there that gave me a new idea. And so I moved on to join another Facebook group and realized, oh, what these people are doing is really closer to my dream. So that has really been the most helpful to me. Find people who are doing what looks good to you. See what their kind of niche is that they're marketing to. It might not be your niche, but you can get an idea how they go about it. If they indicate that they had a specific training, or you could reach out to them. So there's a lot that you can do for free, depending on where you're going, especially if you're still figuring it out and trying to really hone in on what you want your service or your offer be.
Awesome. Thank you, Emily. And Courtney, how about you? What did you do or what would you recommend for people that want to do what you do?
Yeah, so all of the above, what all the other ladies said, it's so true. The internet is your best friend. I like to say that I kind of hacked my way into the virtual assistant world because I truly use YouTube. YouTube and Pinterest are your friend. And, like the other lady said, you find someone who's doing what you think you want to do, find several of those people, compare, and then you can kind of, use your own vision and decide what your focus is going to be. But being a traveler, I'm very much a minimalist and I'm very frugal. And so I used all the resources that are free and low cost that I could find. two of the main ones that I really recommend that I think have courses on all of the services that we are offering are HubSpot and buildapreneur.com. It is spelled the same way that it sounds. But those really, really got me confident in being able to offer the services as paid, because I thought I was good at it, of course, but you know, to go into a course and have some things affirmed and then, you know, learning a lot more and taking it to the next level is so helpful. So don't discount Facebook groups as well. There are tons of groups, you know, a lot of more free resources, as well as paid ones. There's the Virtual Savvy, who is, oh my gosh, Abby Ashley, who runs that group and that course, is like God in the VA world. She really, you know, everything that you need is there. And, you know, she does have the Savvy system. I didn't do that one specifically. I did her Savvy Vault for some of the tech training that I thought was awesome. But yeah, you can definitely reach out to me for any of those resources, but it's definitely a good starting point and definitely made me comfortable enough to go ahead and start my business after less than 6 months of research, guys. So just don't think it's not doable, because it can be overwhelming and it can, you know, just seem like a lot to do. You don't know where to start, but just start writing things down. If you hear something, if you see something, just write it down, put it on a list, research it at some point and go from there. It will come together.
Fabulous. All great tips. And yeah, we'll have to make a list of all of those resources you were talking about. I want to give a shout out to some more people that joined us: Michelle and Ushma, Julie, Mike, Lisa, Hey Will, Cheryl Crow, Missy, Amy, Holly, Rachel, Jeremy. Thanks for watching. And Lisa had a question. Can you explain or give an example of a copywriting task? Who are your primary clients? Jenny, you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. So a copywriting task would be writing the words on a website or writing the words on a blog, writing words for an email. And so my clients are, for the most part, other occupational therapists who are running their own clinics, running their own businesses. It could be any of those. And then they take those words and they'll take the email and send it out to their list. And just really, it saves on time and you get a more polished product. Kind of what Cindy was talking about, how we learn to write in school and how we write for documentation is very different than copywriting. And so there's a learning curve to it, and business owners have to pick where they want to spend their time. And so if they're looking to save time, get a high quality product, then they might hire a copywriter to take that load. And some people love to write copy, and I'm like, more power to you. And I provide resources to empower OTs, because I think the more we all sell our services, connect with people who need our services, we all win. And so for the people who want to learn copy, I provide some, you know, resources there. And then people who that's not their thing, then maybe they would hire me and they would get the done for you product and have the time saving.
Awesome. Cynthia, do you want to answer that one too? An example of maybe a copywriting task you have done, and who are your primary clients?
Thank you. So my primary clients are other healthcare professionals. An example would be a nurturing series and an engagement for like a online course. And an example is like to keep here, like a twice a week email that goes out to describe what this week's content's going to be. And to keep them motivated, looking for the email, looking forward to the course. A lot of people that take courses drop off towards the end of the course. So, you know, if you're putting on a course, you want to keep that high level involvement and engagement and to know what's coming next. So that would be like an email series for online course support. That's when someone's already come into your world, bought your product. So that's one example there.
Awesome. Courtney or Emily, do you guys have anything to add for that one?
I'll add, only because I'm working with a couple of clinics right now, it can also encompass like documentation templates. So I've created some charting templates for a couple of my PEDS-OT therapists in their EMR system. So I consider that copywriting, although, you know, a lot of the times they already have the skeleton of the information that they need. And then I just go in and put it as a template. But, you know, definitely the emails, the web page, you know, basically anything that needs words that your client either doesn't have the right ones, doesn't have the time, doesn't know what to say, you know, anything that needs to be broadcasted to clients, referral sources, and the like can be considered copywriting.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, another question. Anita, she has a BS in business administration and 23 years as a PTA. And she's learning about e-commerce and digital marketing as well as social media platforms for the last 3+ years. And she's looking to take the next leap step toward a laptop lifestyle, but not sure how to start or launch. She's been growing her social media accounts and she's interested in how these ladies transitioned into these streams of income while working in their healthcare fields. And I think we kind of touched on this. Does anyone have anything else to add or advice for Anita, given where she's at? Anyone want to pop in?
I'll say I have fortunately been able to work this whole time during COVID, but I just made the commitment to wake up an hour early. And I spent at least an hour just doing that research, like I said, on, you know, YouTube and Pinterest through Facebook, find the people who are doing exactly what it is that you want to or that you're interested in, and then ask what they did. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. There are so many, you know, business examples that you can follow. And so that's what I would recommend, is just dedicate time for you. It's kind of that same premise with self-care. You know, we spend all of our time with our clients or with our, you know, kids and making sure that everyone else is okay. But this is, you know, the next step for you. And so it's really important. You want to carve out that time to do the research, whether it's waking up at 4 a.m. or staying up until 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. for a couple nights of the week, just because otherwise it's not going to get done. And if you find that you do have that vision, but you don't have the time, outsource. you know, it's the name of the game. It's that's just how entrepreneurship is done. You have to carve out the time, do the research, and it'll happen for you.
Awesome. Emily?
I'll just add that I really believe in the iterative approach. So if you're not exactly sure what you'll ultimately end up doing, just start. In my case, from the time that I decided I was going to do this until having my first client was 1 month. I opened my bank account with an online bank so that I would be able to have my business checking. I bought a domain at Google Domains and figured out, poking around, how to set up my email from that domain. Started with one email list program, threw up just the opt-in on my website. That was the only thing there because I was in a summit and I wanted to put it out to people if they were interested to connect with me before the summit closed. So boom, it was there. And I've just built up from there. Now, since I've decided I'm going to go with ActiveCampaign, so let's learn ActiveCampaign. That's okay. I can switch over. I just had a small number of people in the first place. I'm getting really excited about MemberVault, so I'm going to gear up with MemberVault, and that's fine. I'll do something with my website, probably make it into more of a, you know, nice built-out thing that will then send folks to MemberVault. So you can do a little bit of that ready, fire, aim strategy, and if you're nervous to put yourself out there to what you want to ultimately be your target niche, just experiment on another niche, like try to find someone that you can work for in your neighborhood, or just if you want to work with OTs and you're not ready to put it out there to OTs, put it out there to counselors or some, you know, trainers or some other kind of parallel niche to get your feet under you and start to also refine what you like, what you're good at.
Awesome. Good ideas. Thank you. Jenny or Cindy, any ideas or things you want to add there?
I think just kind of what Emily said, you just sort of put your offer out there, whatever you want to start with, and you'll learn as you go. And it's a little bit scary, but yeah, like in January, I just started LinkedIn and said, you know, I'm accepting clients, and you get one, and then you, you know, launch your website and you announce that, and you just sort of slowly build it and kind of show up, and then continue to reevaluate what it is you like to do and how you improve. But you really do learn the most by doing and fumbling along and figuring it out as you go. So just picking somewhere and starting, I'd say.
Awesome.
And Kara, I'll add to that. So when you move on to the like online space and something different, it's really easy to get overwhelmed and paralysis by analysis, all those cliches. So what I've decided to do, you know, I took the course, got exposed to everything, is do one thing and do it well and master that platform, master that service. And once you've got that on autopilot and you have a system down for it, then move on to the other. Because if you get shiny object syndrome and you're going after this and going after that, you're really not going to make much traction, and you need to get some wins under your belt. And mastering one thing is going to help you gain confidence, get wins. And then you're going to be more confident when you reach out to people, because you know you have the experience and you can back that up. So that's the approach I've taken.
Awesome. All fabulous ideas. Thanks, you guys. Sandra wants to know, how do you charge for your services? Is it per hour or by service? Do you want to share like how much you charge, things like that? So Jenny, do you want to start? How do you bill or charge for your services?
At this point, I do it by service. So I kind of get an idea of their project, the scope of work that they're looking for, and quote out a price. And so I do like a deposit up front, 50%, and then a deposit when I deliver like a first draft. And so that's kind of my model now, you know, to kind of get away from the hourly wage for money. But I'm still kind of evaluating, like if I added more consulting, where you meet with a client for an hour, what I would do with pricing. So that's sort of where I'm kind of tossing around at this point. But yeah, my prices are on my website. If people want to check it out there, kind of like a starting at, price on the website.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, Jenny. Cindy?
So I would agree with Jenny, trying to get away from the hourly rate. So for example, Google, there's a setup. If someone wants their Google Analytics setup, AdWords account setup, and the landing page, there's a setup fee, and then there'd be a management fee. So for pricing, I think it's all dependent on the conversation and looking to see what tools does that client already have in place and how much time and build out, like for a website that can get pretty involved if, you know, there's a lot of different pieces in it. So try to do a package with that.
Okay. Awesome. Courtney?
Yeah. So I kind of worked backwards when determining how to price my packages. I also work on packages rather than hourly. And it's a retainer basis. So the client pays 100% up front, and then I deliver the product. And the way that I calculated what I like to get paid is determining what that is, like what's that number that I need to make per month to sustain my bills and the lifestyle that I want, and then break that down. And the packages are dependent on how much time it takes me to complete the task, how much skill is required, the research, how much, you know, research intensive it is, what the client's reach is. And then, you know, basically take that, those factors to determine what their package cost is. And so I don't necessarily give them the hourly wage, but there always is the hourly in the back of my mind to determine, you know, what that package price is going to be. And then also taking into consideration the taxes that you have to pay, you know, anything that you're going to hold back for operating expenses, marketing, savings, growth, and then your own payroll if you're going to take it. So there are a lot of ways to calculate it, but that's just how I do it.
Awesome. Thank you, Courtney. And Emily.
So coming back to that iterative approach, I would say my packaging and pricing structure is evolving. Like Courtney, I do some retainers. And so with my ongoing clients, they would commit to a certain number of hours up front. They pay up front. And that gives us both a kind of guarantee that we can rely on each other. So they can rely on me to not take on too much work and be available to them for their ongoing and evolving needs at the commitment that we agreed on. And I can rely on them committing to sitting down and thinking about what that work will be and having work for me and me having that income. So especially earlier on, I think there's no shame in having something that's ongoing or having something that's hourly. It's a very good strategy to move towards other models that are more scalable, but also keeping in mind that if you're not exactly talking about me, but giving a little advice, if you're not totally sure how long something is going to take, then you can actually really set yourself up for a bad situation by just quoting a price. And then at the end of the day, you got, you know, $15 an hour once you added up how long it really took you to do that. And then on the packaging side, like as I mentioned, I'm moving towards doing more with MemberVault and ActiveCampaign. And I see that would be more like according to what someone is looking for. Okay, get your course in there, that would be this, or set up this many email automations with adding tags and removing tags and how this will all work, that would be this, and maybe they have a few options. So kind of taking the best of both worlds.
Awesome. Thank you, Emily. Okay, let me double check here. We've had some more people pop on. Let's see. Maria, Jennifer, thanks for popping on. Did any of you guys that are on have any other questions? Please post in the comment section and we will answer those. And I am just going to look up here and see if we've missed anything. So another question is, how did you go about, and we kind of talked about this, but for those that are wanting to get started with this, what's the best way to build your portfolio or show that you can do this work and get those first clients? Have you guys had any success in one thing or the other?
Yeah, I'll say that for me, and apparently it's maybe a controversial thing, but what really helped me is, like Emily said, learn by doing. And so I offered my services to other virtual assistants as a barter. And what that entailed was they gave me some of their tasks that I did for free in exchange for a testimonial. And not only did I get the testimonial, but I was able to use some of those graphics and examples that I provided to them into my portfolio. So, you know, because for the first client, you may not have any true examples. That was really, really helpful for me to prove myself that I could do the work to the prospective client. So bartering was very helpful for me.
That's a great idea. Awesome. Anyone else have anything? How are you guys? Jenny?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the challenging part of copywriting is you do have to come up with a way to do portfolio. And I think even now I see like a lot of opportunities out there. You know, other OTs are looking for somebody to blog, and maybe you could do it at a significant or free value. And then it is live on the internet, and it lives. So when I was working for my outpatient clinic, I happened to notice in a newsletter, they were posting, you know, we're looking for bloggers and we're going to give you $50 to do it. And so just being aware of opportunities, sometimes they just pop up once you're looking for them or opening your mind to them in some way. So then I could, you know, eventually ask for permission to put that in a portfolio. And then I think I got another testimonials just by going in a Facebook group and say, hey, I'm, you know, offering this services. I'm looking to build a testimonial. You know, I'm looking for one or two people who would be willing to, you know, get a free service in exchange for an honest testimonial. You don't want them to be not honest. But I think the OT community and PT community is very interested in supporting each other. And I see so much more business-minded thinking and growth. And so that's been really cool to see people support each other in different ways. And so I think if you're looking for opportunities, you'll start seeing them. And that's kind of cool.
Awesome. Thank you, Jenny. And Cindy? Oh, just a second. Unmute you.
There we go. So with running ads, you're going to be, there's a cost involved. You know, you have the ad spend. So I would agree with the ladies that you have to do pro bono. You can swap services, especially with running, you know, Facebook, Google ads, swapping the, you know, client's ad spend is giving me experience. So that's how you start. You form relationships. I tried to pick harder tasks, you know, and master those to have value. And by picking harder tasks to do, then, you know, potential clients or people are more willing to work with you because they have no idea how it's set up. They have no idea how to manage it. I put my time in on, you know, learning it, learning all these different platforms. And the, you know, your client, that's the trade, is your experience for their ad spend. So essentially you can think of, you know, what they spent in ads for a month is what you're waiving your fee to gain that experience. But I would say you want to get those wins under your belt. And then when the confidence comes, you've got to then have enough confidence to start charging for your services, because you can get into that cycle of everything's pro bono or everything is, you know, a swap. And at some point you have to value what you have to offer. The more that you value it, the more that a client will.
Awesome. Thank you, Cindy. And Emily?
I think those are all really great tips. And I would add to start acting professional first. So even though you may be operating now a little bit differently than you hope to by possibly doing a work trade or giving a discount or whatever the situation may be, I would say for your own mindset as well as how you are leading the way for others to see you, is to act professional first. Get that email address that's for your business, not operating out of your Gmail address, so that when you sit down and log in to send a message to someone with this idea that you want to optimize their account, and then you're hoping that they will give you some tips on whatever it is, that you have a nice signature at the bottom, you are sitting there feeling like I'm this business person and I'm extending a great offer to this person. They may find it's the right moment to take me up on it. And if not, I'll move on to the next. I'm not begging here. I'm coming from a position of strength and I'm on a path. So that, again, you, like Cindy mentioned, you're not kind of getting free zoned even in your own mind. And also, I think to not necessarily assume that people wouldn't pay you. Like, be your own first client, get your own systems set up. If you want to do copywriting, write your own copy. If you want to do social media, do your own social media, and then go from there. A great tip that I saw was just set a price that you can live with for your first client, and then your next client a little bit higher. And you can do it incrementally like that to get to where you really want to be, but be building the confidence the whole time that you're on your way.
Awesome. And one thing we didn't talk about, what is a portfolio and why do you need a portfolio? Anyone want to start on that one?
I'll start. So especially for copywriting, anytime if you're reaching out to people on LinkedIn, if it's not someone you already have a relationship with, immediately it's, I want to see your portfolio. So there's two ways to go about it. You can sit down and just write to an imaginary client, or you can actually swap the pro bono and build that portfolio. And I would encourage people to, swap services with a client, do pro bono, get a testimonial, because you're getting something in return. And with that, you're building your portfolio. If you're writing to an imaginary client, there's no time frame. There's, you're trying to make it up, and it doesn't really give you real world experience. So, if you're interested in doing blogs, reach out to someone who needs a blog post. If you are interested in doing emails, find a client that, has an email list. And then build that portfolio over time while you accumulate your testimonials and its real world experience.
Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else have anything to add about a portfolio?
I'll just say it's basically your resume. So just think of it as your cover letter and resume. A lot of clients will ask for your portfolio rather than your actual resume, because the resumes tend to be, this flat copy of words, whereas they like to see how it actually looks on the screen. How does it look on someone's phone? What are those graphic examples? So it can be an document that's, anywhere from, I think, 3 to 10, 20 pages long, just whatever length that you think encompasses your capabilities and your experience to have the client hire you, basically. So basically it's your resume and cover letter.
You guys have like a portfolio you send out, or do you have like a digital portfolio where people can go and digitally see everything?
So I just have like a mini portfolio on my website where I link out to a couple of live examples. And if you're doing something that's a client's work, it's really important. Not everybody wants, they paid for their copy, it's theirs, to get permission. So like those would be ones that I traded and got that permission for, or like my previous employer, but then I specifically asked them for permission. And then you can also have like, for copywriting, kind of your not public portfolio, if it's a piece that really matches what a new potential client is looking for a little bit better. And so you kind of have in copywriting some examples of different things you've written. That's probably one of my next big goals, is to update the portfolio, because we're always have our task list and that it's evolving. So your writing grows and your projects grow. And then having that time to go back and update it. So pretty much all of mine is digital, and it would be individual examples for my particular portfolio.
Awesome. Anyone else have anything on the whole digital versus just sending something out?
I'll just give my approach to it. Mine's also digital. I can disseminate it in a PDF or a link form. And the way that I've chosen to do my portfolio is that it sends automatically once a person books a discovery call. And so I like to get the upfront meeting and, build a rapport with someone first, and then they have the portfolio then to see some examples and match with the personalities to decide whether it's a good partnership. So there are tons of ways you can do it. Some people will link the portfolio directly on their website or on their Facebook page. You can choose to keep it completely private and only send out when you have, serious prospects. Just whatever your choice is and whatever works for your specific business.
Awesome. Thank you.
I can chime in to say that this question of the portfolio also really depends on the service that you're offering. So in my line of work, a portfolio is not really how I would help people understand what I do, because a lot of what I do is on the back end of someone's business. So I wouldn't, you know, be taking a, I don't know what that would even look like, take a Loom video, you know, how we optimize their use of their, connecting their, this platform with that platform, or optimizing the advanced settings of something, writing down their standard operating procedures and putting workflows into place. I mean, you just wouldn't really do that. So in what I do, it's more testimonials, case study, and also just not forgetting that a referral, I mean, for me, a referral is the best outcome that I can hope for. I could have the most beautiful set of testimonials, but I would love even more than that if someone would tag me in a Facebook group where someone else is asking a question about, I'm looking for someone who could help me with this, or I'm struggling with this. That's amazing. And I have, you know, some of that going on right now, and I appreciate that so much. So don't discount putting some time and attention into thinking about the people in your network that understand you and can help others understand you, because that's really the most authentic and valuable resource that you can have promoting your business.
Awesome. Okay. I know we're at the hour mark. There is one question left. If we can answer that one quick, and then we will go. If you guys need to pop off, feel free to pop up, because I know your time is super valuable. But the last question is, what have been your biggest barriers to starting your business? So I'll let you think a little bit, and then whoever wants to answer first, go ahead and pop on.
I'll go first.
Sorry. And then Cindy's next.
Okay. Yeah. That whole paralysis by analysis thing, you know, with the searches that I mentioned, it does open you up to all the other possibilities and, oh, I can do that, but what about that? And squirrel. And, you know, there's so many things, so many apps, so many programs, so much software, so many strategies that are out there. Narrow it down for yourself. Know that you don't have to know everything to get started. Like Cindy said, be a master of one and then branch from there. Don't try and, you know, set your goals too broad. You know, as healthcare professionals, we know that your goals have to be attainable. And so start very small, start attainable, and do what makes sense in the moment, and then branch out from there. And that was really hard for me. I, you know, mentally and psychology, like I thought that I knew the things and I was ready to get started, but then, but maybe I need to know this first. And maybe I need to have my website and I need to have, you know, all of these things in place, when truthfully you don't. There are so many VAs out there who don't have websites, who don't have the professional emails. And, you know, it's just finding where that customer is, finding where that mentor is, finding that next step. That just gets you started. So do not get paralyzed by your logo design. You know, something small like that is not making you money. So it's only wasting your time. So that was definitely a barrier for me. And I'm so happy now that I've, you know, just moved past it, and I'm so much happier after doing so.
Awesome. Thanks, Courtney. Cindy, what's your biggest barrier?
Courtney mentioned there's two things, mindset. And I think for me, it's everything having to be perfect. If you know, it's going to be dependent on your personality, and everyone kind of leans into or falls back on, you know, I feel like I have to know everything. It has to be perfect. If it's not perfect, I can't make that offer. Where my level of perfection, when I look around, maybe someone's, you know, 200%, where it's 110% for me. So, having the mindset and making the shift from, you know, in healthcare, we're trained to do the thing. And the thing for me was PT or writing 20,000 technical reports. That was the thing. And now I get to choose. So when I get up and I'm doing something, what do I want to do? What direction do I want to go? I make the decisions instead of an employer or someone else telling me and making the decision for me. So it's a complete 180. I'm in control. I drive the bus, and it doesn't have to be perfect. I don't have to have everything mapped out. Where I am now may not be where I am in 2 years, 3 years, but that's okay.
Awesome. Thank you, Cindy. Jenny, you want to go next? What was your biggest barrier?
Probably two. I mean, the one is my biggest barrier was COVID and lack of time. I had a plan for how I was going to launch this. And like got my daughter enrolled in preschool. And then like 2 weeks later, everything changed. So kind of pivoting and finding time has been a huge challenge. And I think I need Emily. One of my other biggest problems is learning all the tech. Like it's just not my zone of genius. And so figuring out some of the back end stuff and workflow stuff has just been time consuming on top of not having time. So
yeah, I agree. Systems.
Systems.
I need better systems. Emily, what's your biggest barrier?
I'm loving this, you guys. So as I mentioned, I launched my business really quickly. And I really went for the throw the hat over the fence strategy. I got myself into a situation where I told some people that I was doing it. And like I mentioned, I wanted to have this website up and an opt-in by the certain deadline of the end of the summit. And so I just had to do it. For me and my personality, that works great. I found some folks that I am setting up some regular Zoom calls with. We just talk to each other, help each other out. Let's hear about what you're doing. Let's hear about what I'm doing. And then I tell them, okay, by the next time we talk, I'm going to have done this. And then that's my accountability. So it's not per se, you know, that for me was a barrier to starting the business. But now that I'm in it, the time is a challenge. I have two kids at home. And so I love Calendly because I just put my availability in there and you can talk to me at 2 p.m. Eastern or you can talk to me at 8 p.m. Eastern. And I put it in there a number of weeks out. And if that doesn't work for you, you can write me and maybe we can work it out. And then if not, there are other fish in the sea because I just have to work it around what I can do. And in a way that has become, it's a barrier and a challenge, but it also, sometimes having some limits is good. And so I just try to think of it that way.
Awesome. Well, you guys, this was a wealth of information and, I also think like some of the things you guys are doing could totally be a great side gig for people. You don't have to do everything that, you know, you guys are doing, but you could do one little thing and have that as a little side gig and then maybe it will blossom into more. So lots of fabulous ideas and thoughts. Thank you all. Diane, thanks for popping on. Angel, Caitlin, Christy, Mustafa, thank you all for popping on here at the end. Those of you that just popped on, make sure you go back to the beginning and learn all about these ladies and all they have done and accomplished. I think it's awesome. So, and Jenny, Cindy, Courtney, Emily, thank you for your time. I know your time is super valuable. So I appreciate you guys taking your time to be here and helping to educate everyone that's in this group. So have a fabulous day and we'll talk to you all soon. Thank you guys. Thank you for listening to today's show, which is sponsored by our Therapy Business Builder Program, where we help healthcare professionals start the business of their dreams from the ground up. Also, be sure to join our free Next Level Occupational Therapy Facebook group. And for even more support, guidance, and training, check out our Next Level Visionary Membership group. Time to level up, occupational therapy professionals.